If you really got the victim gene, you really believe that the world is a problem, God is the problem, things are unfair, and you have no choice but to suffer. And the proof is everybody around you is also suffering. And some people are faking it, and you get to know them really well, and then you find out they're suffering too. You think, well, I guess that's the way it goes. If you really got that thought pattern going, the world will prove it to you. And then something like, Dianetics or Buddhism will pry you away from that. Meditation will pry you away and let you fall into a sense of peace and a sense of presence. And you discover that you're okay. You can actually step out of time with meditation. And then that's your light. That's your light in the dream. That's your light in the darkness. And it hits you right in your heart because it's, light. So you actually have your first enlightenment experience. And all you were trying to do is just meditate. Just calm down. But you actually had a lightness of your own heart, of your being. And that can start your spiritual journey. So however that happens, that's a miracle. That's a big shift inward. So I would question how that happens from any direction. But look at page 246, paragraph 6. And that kind of talks about what you were mentioning, Don.
I have that underlined.
You do, huh?
Shadowy figures from the past are precisely what you must escape.
That's it. They are not real and have no hold over you. Oh, unless you bring them with you. Aha. These shadow figures carry the spots of pain. This Eckhart Tolle calls it the pain body. Carry spots of pain in your mind, directing you to attack in the present. In retaliation for a past that is no more.
It's exactly what I do.
We all do.
You and every ego maniac.
Wow, that's
They're
true.
in black and white, man, right in your book. Jesus is giving you the best therapy possible by pointing out what's going on.
It seems to me that if I could just hear, if I could just really, really hear the voice, which I have a few times, but I mean, my reactivity is so profoundly huge. I'm just making no, I mean, I'm afraid and angry, and I have no room in those circumstances at that time. Is seemingly, well, it's not happening. I'm not listening until,
Remember, to hear the voice is not something that you do or even wait for, Don. You must not hear Don. This you can control, to not listen to Don, to your past, to your criticisms, your judgments, your fears. This you can do. When the Course says in chapter 17, I need do nothing, that's what it means. I, past fearful, guilt-ridden egomaniac, I need to do nothing. I, who can choose, must choose not to listen to my ego.
Wow.
And in that moment, and you said, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to Don. I'm not going to listen to Andrew. And suddenly a lightness of being comes over you and a sense of peace, a sense of awareness. And you say, oh, I know what to do. This person's calling out for love. They're not attacking me. Ha! And then suddenly you know what to do. You open your eyes and you put down your own weapons and you say, how can I help? I have some problems too, but let's talk about yours first. And the person's like, wow, thank you. That's what you wanted to do if you opened your mind anyway. You want to be helpful. You don't want to be a doormat, so you know, you'll get to your side of the problem too. But you know, why not let the other person open up so that you know what you're talking about? Be helpful first. Put down your shadow figures.
I have, so yes, absolutely. I have those interpersonal dynamics that you're talking about. And it's happening. I have this, like, you know, depression. And I have some sort of subtle intrapersonal thing going on where I will say, be depressed, or I'll be content or even. And all of a sudden, took my son out to his birthday on Tuesday night. I was just depressed going out, but I didn't manifest. Nobody could tell, apparently, because later they told me. And I'm sitting there at dinner, a beautiful dinner. Everybody, it's wonderful, beautiful, and I'm depressed. I just went ahead and went through what we're doing. And at some point, I wasn't depressed. But I was unaware of what caused it in the first place and what caused not being depressed in the second
place. I hope you hang on to that, what you just said. I was unaware of what caused it in the first place,
yes.
And I was unaware of what extinguished it.
Yes.
I hope you don't lose what you just told the group. I hope you told that to yourself. And the reason why, and if you think you might forget, please get a pen and paper and write that sentence down. The fact is, you were unaware of what caused the depression in the first place. Then you were depressed for a while. And then you were unaware of what extinguished the depression, the same one you were unaware of what caused. Please write that out in any way that you need.
And that goes with me. It just happens all the time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. All
the time. Sometimes, yep. I realize there's something going on. I can see it, or
well, yeah. Sometimes there are triggers,
and some even in person, a thought or something. But sometimes, you know.
But I'll tell you, sometimes there are triggers, and you say that really, right? You're old enough, and you're safe enough that these things shouldn't bother you, and yet they do.
Yeah.
That says your ego's trying to make a victim out of you. But the fact is, read that sentence. What did you write?
I wasn't aware of what caused the depression in the first place, and I was unaware of what extinguished the depression.
Bravo! You have that written down, my friend. Okay, Sundari, what do you got?
Awareness.
Well,
aware, right?
Did Sundari, are you going to talk about Don's issue?
Yes. It's really fascinating to me because I found in my own mind that the internal files that I compile of memory are done by emotion. So
I'm sorry. That is really amazing. Great statement.
What happens inside me, and I'm very aware of it as a psychic, is I have these boxes of just like pictures. And so I feel something and I pull out that box and I start going through all the pictures of that I've compiled. And so all of a sudden it gets me stuck in these other things. And it's really funny because I've been a psychic. And I can walk into a cafe and I can see the picture sometimes, what someone's looking at. I mean, enough where I ask them. But like, I think we really have those files. And so the way we slip into all the past stuff, at least I do in myself, is that I go into this file and I've just filed them together. And so they pop up.
I can relate.
They're there, not for any other reason. I love the emotion thing was key, Sundari. Yeah. The emotion was key because emotions are informed mostly, right? Because we're bodies, right? Informed by the ego, by past judgments and expectations, and very powerful. So your thoughts generate feelings. And, you know, feelings are really harmless, but then it goes to emotion when you commit to the feeling with a judgment.
Well, okay, make that distinction. Feelings, emotions.
Yep.
Okay.
Thoughts first. Thoughts are quite neutral. They're quite powerful. They're quite creative. But then what you've done is you've been able to make meaningless thoughts because you're in a dream state. And so that, anyway, so I go too far. Thoughts create, if something interests you, feelings. It creates a feeling because you because of what and how you are. It's a feeling. Then, with your ego intact, listening to your unholy spirit, listening to your wrong mind, in other words, you follow the feeling to try to make more sense of it, put a judgment on it, and then the feeling becomes an emotion. And an emotion now is much less amorphous. It's not no longer assigned directly to the thought, you see, because it's an outbreak. It's a physical manifestation with chemicals in the body. It starts to get mixed in with similar emotions you've had before, which brings up memories that don't actually pertain to what you're experiencing. And off you go into ego land of dispersion. And you try to make sense. Now you're crying or you're laughing, and you try to make sense of that. And then you just start applying layers of meaningless judgments onto the emotions. So I love that Sundari used the word emotions when she said she realizes she's been filing away experiences using her emotions. And then there's no wonder that they come popping out when other emotions pop up, occur. She goes back to the shelf where she was afraid, and off comes something she assigned fear for no good reason. Sure, it was a thought. Sure, it was a feeling. But it became a committed, something she believed. And that generated the emotion, and she filed it away. I love the way she said that.
So okay, and so the course.
Now, I just want to make a comment, two words.
Okay.
Shadow figure has been created. Oh, Julie's coming.
Yay.
A shadow.
Hi, Julie.
Where's Julie?
Out in the corner.
Come on, Julie. A shadow figure was born. It was born, it was fed, it was cried about, it was yelled about, it was judged, and then it was kept. Because you thought, well, I don't want this to happen again. It's the last time I'll let somebody say that to me.
Wow.
And so it gets filed, right? And then a year later, you recall that, and it's just, you know, those first 10 lessons, so important. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. And now, let's go read page 246, paragraph 6 for real. Because now we've been talking about it so much, let's let Jesus weigh in. So, Jacqueline, when you get there, would you go ahead and read that paragraph for us?
Okay.
Wonder if we should put a little meat behind it and read paragraph 4 first as a little background, a little more depth. Get us 4.
Okay.
I mean 5.
Oh, 5. Okay.
Yeah. I mean 4 is really good too, but let's start with 5.
Let me get back to that page. Okay.
Now has no meaning to the ego. The present merely reminds it of past hurts, and it reacts to the present as if it were the past.
Can I get a little compassion? Can we have a little compassion here? Look what she just read. How would you like it if that was somebody you loved and that was a description of how their mind works?
Description of how our mind works, as far as I'm concerned.
The description of how our mind works! Oh my God, that is so sad.
If something happens that I'm thinking, oh, that hurt. In other words, first something happens, and then I think it's hurt, and then the emotion is self-pity or whatever. Then the next time something like that happens, or even looks like it's going to happen, I'm already feeling that hurt.
Yep.
And I have to realize it isn't about the present. It's about the past, and I built it up.
You bet. It's an association you built up, and you kept it. You made a shadow figure in your mind. Yeah. How sad is that? Imagine somebody's never touched the now. They would say, there's no now. Imagine, you know, because you've all meditated here. You've all actually touched the now moment and felt free, I hope. Everybody's done that, I think, in this group.
I don't know. I've sat a lot, but.
What I found when I get into a place where I'm trying to meditate or be quiet and be peaceful is, as long as I'm listening to my brain and the ego, then I'm in trouble. And when I stop listening to it, when I say, I'm not going to think about anything, then I get out of the trouble.
It's amazing how that works. That's right. That is a choice you are fully empowered to do. You have to learn it, though. You can't just do that. You have to learn you can do that. You have to get out of victimhood, be able to get the power of your own mind back under control. It's amazing anybody does it, you know, without a whole lot of coaching and somebody holding your hand, like a really good teacher, a good parent. You know, that's why we need A Course in Miracles. We've got Jesus taking us by the hand, lesson by lesson. And you'll find you're going to fake it. You'll think, oh, I get it. I understand it. And you kind of fake it. And then something comes up and you lose your peace. Cuss and swear and sweat and cry.
Yeah,
it's okay, but you have an ideal that has been given you.
That's when I feel bad, I say, okay, this is a feeling I have developed over the past about whatever is going on, and I have to say, and that's not going on right now. So why am I doing that?
There you go. See, beautiful, Luann. Because now the word now has a place in your mind. The word now has a place in your mind. The word now actually exists for you. You got to realize that was not always there in your mind. Of course, it was there in truth. You see, now is the door through which you pass when you leave this world behind. This world is a place of time distraction. It's a place where time seems to be the ruler and the rule. And when you go meditate and you get still, you come to the now moment, a doorway presents itself, and you find yourself already through it. You see, that's what this truth dawns on you of itself. Keywords now. The truth dawns on you, keywords, of itself. Because it is. Because it is. So, look at that first sentence. Wow. I mean, this is just something you should be grateful for. As Luann beautifully described to us, she has a now. You have a now. And for you to be compassionate with other people you're having a hard time with, hey, they may not have a now.
I live somebody like that, me and my wife. I'm not blaming her.
Sure.
I'm just acknowledging.
Yeah.
That is in so many words what I thought.
She's your teacher.
Yeah, she is. And I know, well, I believe she's love.
Yeah, good. Wow.
When I'm being attacked, I think, okay, this is about them. It's not about me now. And that's true even when I'm attacking myself.
Yeah. Yeah, because every time you attack, the fundamental credo going on is that there is something out there that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially. Did you know that's a definition of guilt in the book? You'll get there. If you don't already own that, you will. Because you'll be reading The Attraction to Guilt, for example, on page 410, and you'll go, what? What's going on for five pages talking about guilt? I'm not guilty. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But that's because you're just not ready to hear how fundamental and metaphysical the book is teaching the experience and the desire of separation, this experiment that you're doing.
It's a conundrum. The book says you can't get there if you're fearful. And God can't take your fear away. God can work with the conditions that create the fear.
Yep.
Those are good words. I don't quite.
The book also says that prayer is asking for something, essentially. It says the only meaningful prayer is for forgiveness. For you to actually own forgiveness as this book teaches it. Now there's a prayer worth praying. This says, you know, the ego prays to ask for things and conditions and even for other people. It asks for other people to have peace. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how ego-filled. I mean, it's nice. It really, honestly, if it makes you feel loving, go for it. But it's a slippery slope. Because when you ask for something outside of you to change in order to be healed, in order for love to be present, you are entering the spiritual ego domain. And it will have trips and traps, and then you will be teaching yourself simultaneously that you are vulnerable in the same way you think somebody else is suffering. You'll be proving it to yourself by wishing that they could get the favor of God to come heal and make their life better. That's so sweet of you to ask for that.
Then they'd be nicer to you if that would happen.
Right. If that worked, they would be nicer to you. Yes. Yes. I would like some positive karma. God, how much does that cost? What do I have to do to butter you up, God? I want to butter up the world so that things go better for me. I'll go donate some time. I'll say a few nice words. It's an inside job, folks, and you have been, with your emotions, building shadow figures, filling your mind like a library, a reference library of things that you believe. And really, most of them have quite a negative spin. Judgment, and you're trying to defend from things going wrong. The ego knows what it does not want. Only that is no positive goal at all. But man, it thinks it's smart by building up those protections and defenses. Look at this paragraph 6. Okay, Jacqueline, I don't know what your problem is. You can't seem to read that paragraph.
I'm 5
or 6.
I was reading 5.
246. And we're doing paragraph 5. That's right, paragraph 5.
Okay, and I wanted to just say something. You know, when you were talking about all of us, the problem you thought we had experienced the now, I can't quite relate to that I have experienced the now, but I know I have in meditation experienced something. I don't know if we call it the now, but, you know, something that's quite wonderful. And I want to say to Dawn, I know
I would see you as experiencing the now or experiencing whatever that is when you've, like when you shifted with your wife and you came, you shifted to loving that time. That's the, I think those are the moments of the now when we make, when we have those miracles. So it may not be this big, you know, I don't know that I've experienced the big now, but I've had some, I would say, oh, I don't know, moments of feeling one, you know, with everything.
That's the moment of now.
Thank you.
So I don't know. So I think you have experienced now, Dawn. I'm just saying, you know, I was having a little trouble thinking, have I experienced now? So.
Everybody, even those who are not spiritual people, have experienced the now, but they didn't know what to call it.
Yeah.
All sorts of times show up when you step out of time and you get very alert. Usually it's right when you drop the heavy object right towards your bare feet. You know what I mean? whoa. You're in the now. You're like, you're boom. You're suddenly there. You're all present. You're not thinking about your IRS bill or whether or not you're going to get married or divorced or, you know, none of those thoughts. What it is, I don't want to get cut by this falling glass or hit the brakes and try not to skid and roll the car into the baby carriage you're trying not to hit. Or if you've driven in the snow on the East Coast, that's a real scenario. You really, you know, you come to the now. You go, whoa, let me just do this. I'll go back to my problems in just a minute. Here we go. Okay. Now, what was I worried about? Oh, yeah, I'm so mad. Happens all the time. That's why this is so achievable. What Course in Miracles is asking to do, the whole freaking workbook, I know with authority because of the simple fact I just shared with you, everybody has the capacity to do these lessons. You just have to have the willingness to let go of your personal agenda, to be led. Just try it. See how it feels. Okay, Jacqueline, hit us with paragraph 5.
Okay. Now has no meaning to the ego. The present merely reminds it of past hurts, and it reacts to the present as if it were the past. The ego cannot tolerate release from the past, and although the past is over, the ego tries to preserve its image by responding as if it were present. It dictates your reactions to those you meet in the present from a past reference point, obscuring their present reality. In effect, if you follow the ego's dictates, you will react to your brother as though he were someone else, and this will surely prevent you from recognizing him as he is. And you will receive messages from him out of your own past, because by making it real in the present, you are forbidding yourself to let it go. You thus deny yourself the message of release that every brother offers you now.
Well, there's your therapy session. There's your explanation of what you could be doing with your mind while you're tripped and trapped up.
Seems like most of our communications and interactions, are we really truly communicating or seeing one another? I mean, that's where we start having Christ vision, but how many in our lives have we had in this world? So it is up to us to start having that experience, at least from our perspective or from our mind.
Yes. And thank goodness we don't have to do anything tricky to get there. You see, it's an undoing we're talking about.
Yeah.
If it was something clever that you had to figure out how to do, some careful balancing act so you could be holy too, so that you could have exposure to peace. I don't know. It'd be hard, and you need practice and training and somebody to maybe do it for you a few times and show you. You have to have somebody who is really living it already close to you that you trusted. And then maybe you could do it. If it was something like that, something like tricky, Like even, you know, learning how to use the clutch on a car or to play chess or to use a can opener for the first time. It really helps to watch somebody do it, right? That's because it's kind of tricky. This is not a Course in Miracles. Course in Miracles is not tricky. That's the thing. The ego, it has all these elaborate spiritual things that are out there calling on other voices and beings and all that. Course in Miracles says, well, yeah, I mean, you could, because of its intent, it will work, but there's a faster way. You really can come into the present and discover the simplicity of the truth right now. And the Christ vision that Jacqueline's talking about is littered throughout the workbook, and it just drops it on you every once in a while, not every day. That's too much. It gets you to warm up, to open your mind, to being able to see the essence of what you are really seeing with this eye, your third eye. It gives you a chance to look out your third eye, and then it asks you to do it for a whole day. And it asks you to use Christ's vision. But, you know, when it does, it always is asking you to have your perception, allow your perception to change with the voice for God, or the guide in capital letters, to see aright. What about these shadow figures? What about these commitments that we've made in our mind to things that are bad or evil or dangerous? Well, Luann, would you read for us paragraph 6 on page 246 of the text?
The shadowy figures from the past.
Wait. You're really quiet for some reason, and I don't think there's much you can do about it, because unless there's a cushion or something under your phone.
No, wait a minute. I can fix it, I think. Yeah. There we go. No. Is that better?
And sometimes what Zoom will do is Zoom will automatically raise the volume, and you suddenly you just get louder. So I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it. So I'm going to ask you just to wait your turn for later. And Dawn, would you read for us paragraph 6?
I can talk louder, but it's okay if it goes.
Yeah, it's still pretty quiet. I can hear you, but for reading it's pretty quiet. Sundari?
Luann, if you just once went into where it says stop video on the lower part and click on the mute button. Next to the mute button, there's a caret, an arrow. And if you click on audio setting and check that your output volume and your input volume are on max, if both of those are on max, that might be the issue. If not, if you're able to drag the little input volume and output volume to the maximum on the right, that might solve the problem.
The input volume isn't even on at all.
Raise it all the way up to the right.
I can't get it to move. Oh, there it is. Oops. Now, the output is all the way up there. The input is blinking red, yellow, and green, and isn't stopping.
Well, that's something to play with. Good, Sundari. And maybe next time you log on, it'll go to its default. Is there an auto button also? Okay, so Don, give us paragraph 6.
Okay, thank you. The shadowy figures from the past are precisely what you must escape. They are not real and have no hold over you unless you bring them with you. They carry the spot of pain in your mind, directing you to attack in the present in retaliation for a past that is no more. And this decision is one of future pain. Unless you learn that past pain is an illusion, you are choosing a future of illusions and losing the many opportunities you could find for release in the present.
Read that sentence again, please.
Unless you learn that past pain is an illusion, you are choosing a future of illusions and losing the many opportunities you could find for release in the present.
I love that sentence. Please continue.
The ego would preserve your nightmares and prevent you from awakening and understanding they are past. Would you recognize a holy encounter if you are merely perceiving it as a meeting with your own past? For you would be meeting no one, and the sharing of salvation, which makes the encounter holy, would be excluded from your sight. The Holy Spirit teaches that you always meet yourself, and the encounter is holy because you are. The ego teaches that you always encounter your past, and because your dreams were not holy, the future cannot be, and the present is without meaning.
And now, Don, would you please read that sentence that you wrote down a moment ago?
I wasn't aware of what caused the depression in the first place, and I was unaware of what extinguished the depression in the second place.
Good. Good. And then look at the paragraph we just read. And it says in the middle of the paragraph, say sentence 5, unless you learn that past pain is an illusion, the past is over, can touch you not. Is that a fair statement? What, Deborah? Cough it up. You're ready to fight. Go ahead. I got your mute. Out with it.
Well, ask the question again.
Is the past over and can hurt you not? I mean, the past, you know, is it the past pains? Are they in the past so they don't actually affect your present? Is that true, Deborah?
It's capital T true, yes. Oh. Living it moment to moment.
Yeah.
My challenge.
But if something happened last week and it's over, and you decided to think about it today, is that the past coming into your present and controlling you?
That has
even without the truth. I'm just asking.
Yes.
Mechanically.
Yeah.
What?
It's totally messing with my present.
It's messing with your present.
Yes.
The event that happened last week, last month, what they said about you, or what happened last year to you.
My thinking about it does, yes.
Ooh, fine print. Fine print. The kind of fine print that could land you in jail. Fine print, you know what I mean? Like a stop sign, you know? You didn't make a full stop. Well, I kind of made a stop. But you know what? You know it wasn't full stop. You're going to pay the fine. And I want you to watch carefully your admission there. Yes, your thoughts about the past. You have shadow figures. And you're going to the shelf, reaching up, pulling off the shelf, and saying, I'm going to think about this horrible thing yet again. Let me see. God, it's getting kind of worn. I was thinking about it just yesterday. And here I am. But you know what? Let me just look in here. Oh, yeah. God, that makes me so mad. You know, I'm going to carry it all day today. I'll put it back tonight when I go to sleep, maybe. I'll try to go. You end up sleeping on it. This is choice. This is choice. This is choice. You are not a victim. You're not a victim now. You're not a victim then. You're never a victim. But you really have to bust yourself on these shadow figures by trying to go present in the middle of the trouble. So Deborah, the next time you find yourself kind of fretting over something, just take a moment, sit, take a moment, count out 200 breaths carefully, somewhere around, you know, 75 to 125. You will have forgotten the import of your problem. And you just bust the ego and you realize, man, I think I'd rather be free. That's what chapter 30, is it 30? Or is it 31? I think it's beginning of 31. has you just really honestly say that you're unhappy, and then honestly look at how you're holding on to it, and then honestly think, what do you really want? What kind of day do you want? Do you want to rehearse your problems, or do you want to be a little more present and choose happiness and work out your life without carrying this burden? It's a wonderful exercise beginning of, I think it's chapter 30, maybe it's 31.
Andrew?
Yeah.
So going to that sentence, unless you learn that past pain is an illusion. So somewhere in the course, it talks about the Holy Spirit. You can't solve the problem in the present. You have to go to where it occurred. Does it say that in the course?
Well, you know, it's essentially it does. You, if you're in the present, you don't have a problem.
Well, I know, but I mean,
right? But yeah, it does say you have to look at what you think the problem is, and of course, they're all in the past. You have to look at it one more time. But you look at it with your right, with the Holy Spirit in tow.
But it seems like, is it saying that you, is it saying, like the engrams, that you have to find that specific?
No. This is, thank you, Don, this is key. Course in Miracles does not deal in specifics of the ego. They're all the same. They're all at the same level. You're not peace. You're not happy. You're not at peace. It's page 90 that you're looking for. Hold your finger here and just flip to page 90 for a second. And you can see this very practical direction. And it's not. It's the reason why you're unhappy. This doesn't matter. You're unhappy again. And it's the same unhappiness. Even though it's a very different reason, maybe. It's the same unhappiness. See? The same unhappiness. Sure, it's because a different person said something, or a different money issue, or a different health issue. But it's the same unhappiness. See? The similarity should bust it. It's not a unique. Fear is not unique. And this is why eventually we learn how to generalize these lessons. And you can start changing swaths of your life by changing how you view it. You will not change the world. You'll change what you think about the world. And that's where the healing begins. That's what salvation is in A Course in Miracles, is you change your mind about the world, not change the world. So, the details don't matter. Now, you know, in the beginning, of course you have to work with details. Of course, those early lessons, we're talking about buttons, and we're talking about teacups, and we're talking about trash cans. It's very specific, because you're very specific. But then you start to loosen up. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. You know, you really start opening up pretty wide, giving you a chance to generalize. But man, you do got to be honest though, and be specific, and really be honest about how you feel about these individual things. And you kind of laugh at them, because you see how worked up you are about something that will be absolutely meaningless to you in just a matter of time. A week, a month, a year, 10 years, doesn't matter. It will disappear like everything. Like the things that made you so mad 10 years ago, you couldn't even listen if you tried. Oh my, but you were mad. You're willing to quit your job or end relationships. They're gone. So look at page 90, Don.
Yes.
And, but you know, this is early. He's giving you some real good beta here, really good advice here. However, you haven't learned to respect, this time when you're first reading the book, you haven't learned how to respect Jesus' words. There are specific commands here that are so easy to ignore. I'll try to point them out a little bit. But in fact, why don't we just, you'll see for yourself. It's hard to take the book seriously enough when you first start out reading it. You come back a few times after going around a few times and finding that there is power with your thoughts. Then this paragraph 6 suddenly is everything you need. And so let's have Tim. would you read for us? I'll get your mute. Would you read for us on page 90, the entire paragraph 6, ready when you are?
90 of the text, correct?
Yes, sir. Sliver, yeah, you're in front of the book, just an eighth of an inch in.
And you wanted all of paragraph or 1, the introduction?
Paragraph 6 on page 90.
Oh, okay.
I'll decision stop. Cannot be difficult.
See it. You want me to read the italics that follow as well?
Yes, please. That's the meat where we're going.
Okay. Decision cannot be difficult. This is obvious if you realize that you must already have decided not to be wholly joyous if that's how you feel.
Busted. Please continue.
Therefore, the first step in undoing is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly.
And isn't that interesting? You know, he says, he doesn't say the first step in undoing. It's one of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles. It's the first step in the undoing. That's all we're talking about is undoing your stinking thinking.
More to come. The first step is in undoing, is in the undoing, is to recognize that you have actively decided wrongly, but can as actively decide otherwise. Be very firm with yourself in this, and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. Your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made.
Okay, now that's starting to get specific, right? Your part is to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made. That's starting to go in the direction of specifics. It's not a why, it's a how did you choose to be unhappy? Not a why. Well, it's because this problem with this specific issue. No, really? It's all the same level.
The image that popped into my mind after your part is merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made reminds me of going to the reset point on my computer when I've installed something or something's broken. I go back to where the error was made.
Right? Yes.
And then say, let's try this again.
Good.
And give it over to the atonement in peace. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let Him. I choose to let Him by allowing Him to decide for God for me.
Yes. Thank you, Tim. Perfectly read.
So, Andrew.
Yes.
Okay, I just need to get this clear because it's telling me I have to return to the point at which the error was made. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm struggling with. Like, where's the point I made that decision?
And it's the point where you decided to follow judgment, unhappiness. You decided to follow the darkness.
I don't know when that was.
Oh, it's right now.
Now, Andrew, why don't you take his example and use that one? I think that would be easier.
Yeah. Let's say you find yourself, you said, Ari, you got the example?
Yeah, just what I needed tonight. I have to leave early, but I, so... there was this insect infection in my house. All my sweaters are full of these little bugs making holes. And I had a new housekeeper right before this happened. And so I wanted to talk to her before she came again, but I couldn't. And I totally screwed it up. You know, I just went into this blaming. I had decided that them bringing the I'd never had a cleaning service where they bring the vacuum from house to house. And I decided she must have done it, you know. And so this poor woman comes in the door, and she's actually wonderful. And I'm blaming her, you know, with this, these holes. And so she dropped me as a client and went away. And now I'm stuck with this mess, a washing machine not working, not knowing how to get rid of all the little bugs in all my clothes. And I mean, it's funny. It's exactly this paragraph. It's, you know, I could hold her innocent. I could have just said, gosh, I got this terrible problem, and what do you think I should do about it? You know,
let's solve it. Mm-hmm. Without the fear. The fear came in, the shadow figures came in, the attack came in, and it does what it always does.
But I could start again right this moment.
Yes.
And I could say, wow. I mean, I sent her an apology, but I could say, I really appreciate who you are and how you clean. And I really should have asked your advice.
And that's how you clean it up. And that's necessary in this world, to clean up the relationship. Yes, Sundari. However, forgiving yourself for the nasty reaction that you seem to naturally have done, like we all do, right? Forgiving, that's the job that you want to do with Course in Miracles. You go send the message, and you go clean up the relationship with the cleaning woman. And that's something you do if into relationships in the world. But you have to clean up inside, do the forgiveness on your own mind. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. You don't heal by just cleaning up with other people, because you're still holding yourself guilty for being such a jerk.
But it's possible to remake who I think this person is.
Sure. It's inside. You do that inside.
Inside, yes.
Yeah, the letter's good and all, right? But the forgiveness of your mind, in other words, you're forgiving Sundari's ego for being and doing what egos do.
And the other part about it is, for some reason, I'm not seeing, you know, where, because I don't see the whole picture of everything. Maybe this was perfect.
There you go. You have to allow that. You have to allow that.
And in fact, how could it not have been perfect? Because it was.
Yep. Script is written, baby.
And so it is.
There you go. Now you got an out.
But for whatever reason, if it was only for me to watch my own judgment and what it creates, or because it was the perfect thing. I mean, it is the perfect thing on all levels.
You really can't say it should be different, can you?
No.
Got it, girl. You're free.
Bugs for some reason.
Hey, bugs happen. Luann.
Okay, I want to get back to Don for a minute, if that's okay.
Good, please.
So Don, this is how I look at what you've said. And I would like Andrew to correct me when I'm wrong and tell me when I'm right. So you noticed yourself in a depression. Okay? You noticed yourself in a depression. And the thinking is, okay, what is it about what's going on now? It's making me feel like I can't feel anything. I need to stop feeling anything except depressed. Instead of saying to yourself, I've chosen to be depressed for some reason. And regardless of whether I know what the reason is or not, as a psychologist, I would guess, but regardless of that, I can choose to join in this party, and even if I just smile at what other people are saying.
Right now.
Right now.
Luann, your volume's back up, by the way, magically. While you were speaking, it came up. You hear that, Dawn? She said it perfectly.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to let go. Forgive Dawn, the ego, for the whole rigmarole that got you from 1:32 p.m. to 1:40 p.m., where the chaos was. But at 1:40, wake up. That is returning your mind back to the point to where you diverge. You diverge with a choice. So you go back to the choice and choose again.
And whether or not you know you made a choice that which relieved your depression, you did.
You can't go back in time. You can't go back in time to 132 and say something different. Mm-hmm. So it must be now we're talking about. Guess what? That's easy. Doing something now is easy. Doing something tomorrow is hard. Doing something yesterday is impossible. But you can choose again right now. And it's giving you the way to do it right here on page 90. It says, look, I must have decided wrongly because who's not at peace? I am living out unpeaceful thoughts that I'm thinking. You have to admit, I made the decision myself. Nobody told you what to think about that rotten thing that happened, Deborah. Nobody came into your mind, Luann, and forced you to think something. Don, you are the master of your kingdom. You are the master of your kingdom. So you did make a decision. Maybe it's because so many years you've been alive, you've been training yourself, and you've got this chemical roller coaster that you've been on up and down, and so you decided to make sense of it, and you gave it some meaning, and then you followed the darkness. But that's all decisions, my friend. They're quick. And you find yourself surrounded. It's like you walk out in a sunny day, and you find yourself warm. You walked out on the sunny day into the direct sun without a hat. You have to admit, you don't control the sun, you don't control your moods, and you don't control your depression. However, there's all sorts of decisions around that occurrence that you do control. You have to catch those now. Now you must catch those if you want to be free. And I hear that you want to be free. And you have a book in front of you. Somehow you got A Course in Miracles. And A Course in Miracles is going to teach you very specifically. These are your choices. Your private hell comes from your choices. There is a way out. And it's an undoing, not a doing. Got to watch this now. Got to watch this because you can undo. You really, I don't know what you can do. I'm not really sure what powers you or any of us really have. But you do have the power to undo.
Well, it's saying here that the Holy Spirit does the undoing. So I've experienced, I didn't call it the Holy Spirit, I called it God, but I've experienced in the middle of despondency, crying out like, help me, God, spontaneously. And it was like walking into the sunshine without a hat on, you know, but it came from desperation. It came completely spontaneously,
sure,
without calculation, without even really, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like if you're drowning, you know, you try to grasp for the air, right?
You bet. You know, we try with our spiritual practices. We try to make holy instances and holy experiences happen. We go to retreats. We read books. We meditate. And they happen. You know, it was said that, you know, enlightenment's it happens like an accident. And your spiritual practice makes you accident prone. It kind of opens up your third eye. It gives you some meditation time to fall into peaceful moments. But even without a spiritual practice, you will fall into these moments. And because the truth is, God is pursuing you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Because you are a direct extension of God. You really can't be without God. And so God is constantly pursuing you because of the nature of what you are. So it happens. It happens. We, spiritual aspirants, are saying, well, let's double time it. I want it to happen more. He says, all right, if you're interested, we can undo more of your troubled thinking. You bet. I say the quicker the better. I'm loving it. It has healed so many troubling types of thinking in my life. I can't imagine not being on the spiritual path to undo the problematic, chaotic ego. It's life is better without it. It really is. I like peace. Peace works for me.
I like to think of it like this. When I'm upset about anything, I didn't do that. My ego did.
Amen, sister. That's right. Absolutely. Perfect approach. Perfect approach. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. The Holy Spirit's a translator. It's in your mind, connected to the truth. Of course, but undo all sorts of any kind of chaotic, problematic thought you could have. Well, you know what? I choose to let the Holy Spirit undo the consequences. I'm gonna go for it. By allowing him to decide for God for me, which is what you just said. Your ego doesn't decide for God, but you can undo for a moment your ego. And then your Holy Spirit will step in and say, hey, try peace. Try love. Try joining. Try listening to your wife and finding out what she would really like you to know, even though her words are all messed up. And she's even referring to stuff that happened last week, but obviously that's not what she means. So get by all those words, right? Just go right through and try to join with her. That is deciding for presence, for unity, for God. Jacqueline.
Well, I just keep over and over in this. I can't help but think this. It would be wonderful because it says, your part is merely return your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement and peace. And I mean, if I could just return to the error when I decided to separate, then there would be the atonement. And that's the error. That's the original error. So, and all errors come from that original error, every other error. So I wouldn't even have to think about all the other errors, you know. So I'm wishing that I could do that. I'm just wishing I could do that. That's all.
All right, Jacqueline. This is for you. This is for you.
It's possible.
Everybody, turn to, in the workbook, it's in the 300s, lesson 158. Jacqueline would like to return to the error and just not make it.
What error? I mean, what page?
Yeah. Page 298 in the workbook. The bottom of the page it says 298, and the top it says 158, lesson 158. In the bottom it's page 298. And so, Deborah, would you read for us? Let's just do paragraph 4. This is you're reading this to Jacqueline.
Hey, Jacqueline. Today I learned to give as I receive.
Wait.
Time is a trick.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you.
Time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set.
Hey, you need to put a comma after the word doubting. You might want to just put that in your book now. Put a comma after the word doubting.
Okay. When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set. Um, For we but see the journey from the point at which it ended, looking back on it, imagining we made it once again, reviewing mentally what has gone by.
What has gone by? It's done. You aren't continuing to make separation more real. Time's a trick. It's a sleight of hand. You are at home in God, dreaming of exile. You're not exiled. And the way you do it, the way you become aware of this, is you step out of time, even for a moment, and discover the fullness of your being. And you go, oh, there I am. Ah. It's amazing. It's an undoing. Yeah, Don.
Andrew, is it saying here that the script is God's script? Because
yes, actually, because God is truth, okay? The definition of God is truth. The definition of God is what is. Or if you'd like to shorten that sentence, just say is. That's God. So you bet the script is written.
And it's
what is. Okay? And what is not is not. And just to cut to the chase, illusions are not. Dreams are not. The ego is not. There's this short little sentence in the middle of the text, and it's this. It's talking about the ego. Its very nature is that it is not. In iambic pentameter, no less.
Where does it say that?
The middle of the text somewhere.
Oh, in the middle of the text, okay. That was this paragraph. Okay, so because time's a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic, that's the ego.
Yet yes, sir.
The plan behind appearances, it does not change. The script is written. In other words, it's all good. I'm just messing with it.
You can, thank you, Don. It's all good. You're just messing with it. There you go. Write that down. The sage has spoken.
Yes.
I just wish it rhymed, because that's the truth. That's the truth. It's all good. You're just messing with it. That's right. That's why I say it's not a sin. There is no sin. There's not actually anything wrong.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Siri. She says the strangest thing sometimes when I bump my watch. That was a good one.
It's like that birthday party was done because of love amongst all the people that came. And instead, sometime in your past, you did something that made you feel awful and you decided to just forget that feeling, depress it until what you do instead is depression. So you accidentally went into another birthday party or something similar to what happened in the past. And he said, this could go wrong just like it did in your memory. And it doesn't have to be that way because you're not the past.
You can choose misery anytime you like. Hey, that's good news. You're the master of your kingdom. Oh, you chose misery? Yeah. Okay. But you chose. See? You chose. You could choose otherwise. You could choose. In fact, I want to choose otherwise because I want to be at peace.
So when I noticed I was depressed, that started before. I just could say, okay, I could say both. I could go both ways. I don't know why I'm depressed. Holy Spirit, let me know. And I could say, I don't know why all of a sudden I'm feeling better.
Wait.
What?
My whole key of having you write down the sentence that you don't know Why you're depressed? You don't know why you're not depressed. My whole point of having you write that down is for you to understand that there's no why. If your ego wants to find a why. You know the reason why is because your wife didn't hug you back this morning. Why? That's the problem. That's why you're depressed. She didn't hug you back, and that's not right. And see, you can follow that down a rat hole and become upset and make a big deal out of it. But the point is, I just want to give you that clean example because you brought it up. If you take the honest fact of it, you've got this chemical roller coaster that will come and go your entire life. It's going to keep coming until it doesn't. If it doesn't, you don't know why you came depressed, and then you didn't know why it left. Okay, you'd have to add another layer of interpretation. Okay, then watch my words. Then you would have a why. Part of you would be satisfied because you came up with a why. You came up with a reason. And then maybe you can fix it, right? Maybe you can go to counseling, or maybe you can just yell at somebody and fix it. Okay? That's ego. That's following the darkness. It's much more important to ask how. How do I feel this way? Well, here's how. How is because you have followed a feeling with an emotion. The feeling's neutral. The thought was absolutely meaningless. But you put some feeling on it. And then that began, the clouds came. And then you judged it and made it dark. And you followed it into an argument or into depression or into self-loathing or whatever you did. You just followed it with your mind. You're free to do that. And guess what? Nobody and nothing is strong enough to stop you from doing that again tomorrow. Not even God. Of course not. God's gift is that you can do that. You can also extend and expand love.
Your love.
That's what you really want to do. It's much more rewarding. But you are playing with your power. And sometimes you get yourself into a corner and you get bruised. But that's where we're studying these shadow figures. And we're studying your fixation with the past. Jacqueline.
And Don, I think that was loving of you to be, you know, just be with your family while you felt so awful. You were just there with them.
Yeah.
And they were... You know, enjoying their birthday. I think that was a loving thing for you to do because, you know, I know, you know, sometimes I've had depression in my life and I'm not so generous. I want to be alone or I won't go somewhere. And then other times I do put myself forward and I'm present and I don't let anybody know. So I think that's a loving thing that you did.
And you extinguished it. You know, the roller coaster went up and down and back up and you just went right through the middle. Felt it, but you didn't follow it, and before you knew it, was gone.
So
this is a wonderful, wonderful lesson for you to observe, for all of us. And Don is just putting himself on display here. We all do this. We absolutely all go through this.
Well, I will say, I'm putting it on display because at the beginning of our meeting, it occurred to me, and I thought, well, you know, me. But I thought, you know, really, this must be a value for more than just me. It's not just about me, you know?
Yeah.
But so
it's a mistake.
I did feel like it was an offering.
Listen, that's true of all of our lives. Everybody, whatever you're dealing with, you are a unique extension of God. You have a task. You have a function in the mind of God. Like every leaf has a function on a tree. There are thousands and thousands of leaves. Some are in the sun, some are in the shade. The ones in the shade are smaller. You're smaller than the bigger things in life around you, but you're bigger than the things that are further in the shade than you. You have a function. You are fulfilling it. And it is wonderful. It is a powerful, wonderful experience. And as you rise above it, as you transcend this being a body, you will appreciate what a wonderful experience this is.
Because the Taurus course talks about finding your function.
Yep.
And you know, I think I'm you know what? You throw darts, and you come closer and closer to the bullseye. And I just throw myself out there.
You know. Yes. You know. No use hiding.
No.
Especially among people like us who are all willing to join with you and apply this A Course in Miracles guide. And then you help us to look at the material personally. Yeah. You help us to get really honest, Don. You put words to what we all need to think about and feel. And so thank you for being that. You're helping teach the material.
You know, and I loved that Jacqueline talked about the time when you just switched your approach to your wife. And that was a perfect example of changing your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something deeper than my ego
disappeared.
Stepped through me or with me or, you know, moved me that way.
Yeah, and sometimes, like I said, even non-spiritual people will have moments where they just get too tired of arguing.
Yeah.
And they find themselves at peace and go, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. We're just trying to make that happen more often with Course in Miracles, our spiritual path. We're just trying to make peace happen more often. It's there waiting if we would just undo. Okay, so we've managed to make it all the way to 9 o'clock without seeing our paragraph. So what I'll do with this last 3 minutes is remind you of what we read last week, preparing for this paragraph. This section on page 454 is a very clever metaphysical talk. It suddenly dips deeply into a fear that you probably have never thought about. Well, Jesus has gone ahead of you. Jesus is actually an extension of your mind that chose to be completely healed and wrote a book about it. So you can read it. So maybe when you're ready. So I would just remind you that this fear to look within that it's talking about is that you would actually be willing to look within and find the truth that there's not a problem. You see, the ego likes an enemy and likes being a victim, because then that I'm unhappy is because that over there, or when that changes, and then I will be happy. Ego loves that whole scenario. You know. Problem in the past made me unhappy, and maybe in the future if I get healthier, wealthier, and wiser, or lucky, or if I argue enough and get my way, I can be happy tomorrow. But just sucks right now. It's going to stay that way until things change. That's the ego. That's the world. And the course in this section is talking about real unhappiness, existential victimhood that you so easily afford. He says, what if it wasn't true? You have no place, you have no justification to be free right now. You're too busy worried. You're too busy defending. It really goes deep quickly. And then, you know, right away, the next section, it kind of lifts out and says, all right, let's go back to some mind training. But this section is inviting you to peel back and have a freaking miracle about reality. It's just inviting you. I could tell you sometimes a course just goes deep. And this is one of those times. You can read it at a simpler level and get a lot out of it, but there's a way to read this where it really goes a layer deeper. And yeah. Good paragraph too. It says, remember the ego is not alone. And see, its rule is tempered and its unknown enemy, the ego holds out this enemy, whom, capital W, whom the ego cannot even see, it fears. That's the truth. It's God. It's the power that is beyond the ego. It kind of has to deny that. Loudly, the ego tells you not to look inward, for if your eyes will light on sin, and then God will strike you blind because you're sinful. Okay, now that's the easy pass through this material, is that you would find sin on the inside, and because you're bad, then God would have to punish you because you're bad. It's fine. If that's the way you read it, and that's what you get out of it, and you think, okay, well, maybe I'm not so bad, and God really do that, that's fine. But now take the next step. He says in paragraph 2, sentence 4, this you believe, and so you do not look. Okay, that's fine. You don't want to see the ugliness. You don't want to see that you're a sinner. I get it. That's fine. I get it. Yet this is not the ego's hidden fear. Okay, get ready to tighten your seatbelt. You're diving deeply. Nor yours who serve the ego. Choosing. Loudly indeed, the ego claims that it is too loudly and too often. For underneath this constant shout and frantic proclamation, the ego is, it's not certain it's so. You know why? You know why the ego is not certain that you're actually evil and God's going to kill you? Because God has not killed you yet. The ego can do the math. The trees behind me in this forest scene here, they seem to be okay, and they're beautiful. Well, maybe there's beauty all around me if I just take a moment to look. So suddenly, maybe it's not so bad. See? Same with inside you. Maybe I'm actually loved because God hasn't reached down and hit me with a lightning bolt for being such a whatever you think you are. Didn't strike down Hitler, did he? Oh, you see how confused when the ego gets honest? It's instantly confusing. For underneath this constant shout and frantic proclamation, right, that sin is real and God will kill you for your sins, the ego's not certain it's so. Ha! Huh. Beneath your fear to look within because of sin, right, because of separation, right? That's why you wouldn't look within. You're guilty of being separate and choosing it. Is yet another fear. Whoa. Now we're going a layer deeper. And one which makes the ego really tremble. Tremble for its existence entirely. And that's what we're going to read next week. And in paragraph 3 is what we're going to study next week. What if you look within and saw no sin? This fearful question is one the ego never asks. And if you ask it now, you're threatening the ego's whole defensive system too seriously to bother to pretend that it's your friend. The ego, it falls apart because its enemy didn't show up. And that's what happens. If you will take a moment of peace, honestly go still and just breathe spiritual air for a moment, there's not a problem. Even if you're dying tonight of cancer, if you just take a moment and go, oh, until you can't breathe, then take a breath, right then, between the end of the ohm and the start of the breath, okay? A little door opens of absolute stillness. And you'll think, what if that is eternity? And it is eternity. The dream is masking over the presence, the eternal present, where you are free. Okay, everybody, thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. We're gonna take this dive next week right in. We'll jump right in and go this depth and make sure we get the message. Good to see everybody. Good night. Thank you, Don.
Love you all.
Bye.
Good to see you, Julie.
Yeah, Julie.
Good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi,
Julie.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, Tim.
Bye.
Stay well.
Bye. Bye.